spending so much time online, you believe that the earth is flat, vaccines are microchipping you, and that birds aren't real.
Yes.
What are you selling?
It's a game.
A game.
Specifically tailored for each participant.
John, chapter 9, verse 25. Whereas once I was blind, now I can see. Now I can see.
Mr. Van Orton, is everything all right?
He's in on it.
I paid the bill. I paid him more to make it stop.
I need the police. They're gonna break into my house. I'm being toyed with by a bunch of depraved children.
They make your life fun.
Welcome to Show Me the Movies with Justin and Nick, a movie podcast hosted by lifelong cousins slash buddies that digs into movies that mean something to us and our guests. I'm Nick.
I'm Justin.
And today we don't have a guest. We anticipated going into this that we were going to mostly not have guests, but more people have been game to do our podcasts than we were anticipating. So we've had a lot of guests, which has honestly been a pleasure. It's been really great. But we definitely still want to do some that are just us as well, because we have a lot of movies on our list that we want to go through.
We were overly recruiting people because we didn't know who was going to want to say yes to this or not. Uh-huh. And so then we are like, oh, wow, now we have a bunch of guests lined up. And now it's just the two of us in the studio, and it's like, this is crazy. We haven't been just the two of us in the studio in a while.
Right. Justin, what I almost said the title when I asked, what movie are we talking about today?
We're talking about a movie that has a profound life experience in it called The Game.
Yes, we are talking David Fincher's 1997 movie,
The year game. I was born.
The year Justin was born. I was 1 year old. I did not see it when it came out, unfortunately. It took me until I was mid-20s.
I'm holding the Criterion Collection.
He is. It's very cool looking.
The
also,
game right now.
Honestly, I don't know. Like, I love that The Game is on the Criterion Collection. I'm a little surprised it is on the Criterion Collection.
Me too.
I think mainly because it is so fun, and it is nothing but a tight thriller that is really good. And most movies that fit that description are not on the Criterion Collection.
Yeah, it is surprising. The only two of David Fincher's movies that are on the Criterion Collection are this and Benjamin Button.
What?
I haven't seen that one.
I find quite surprising.
I really hope they add more, because I want to buy like fun looking movies. Like, holding this in the Criterion case, I'm like, gosh, this is so satisfying.
It's very nice. Yeah, that's awesome. So, getting into just the start here. So, The Vitals, released in 1997, directed by Finchy, Justin's favorite.
Yes, my fave.
Starring Michael Douglas, Deborah Kerr Unger, Sean Penn, and James Rebhorn. Do you know who James Rebhorn is?
Wait, is he the guy who sells him the game? Or not sells him, but he's like the one who's mostly interacting with him.
Yep,
at
the bald guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's the guy who, have you seen Meet the Parents?
Yeah.
He's the guy who's always like, Focker!
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Focker! Get it together, Focker!
And he's like in the pool with them when they're playing volleyball.
Yep. That's kind of what I always think of when I see him and stuff. But he's great in this. So, plot synopsis. Add anything you want, Justin. Super rich, Scrooge-type Nicholas, great name, Van Orton, agrees to participate in a mysterious game that blurs the lines between reality and said game.
You wrote that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I usually don't write a movie synopsis, but since I love this one and it's a Fincher, I wrote one. Mine's shorter than yours. I like that. I just said, a very, very rich man is gifted a profound life experience from his brother that changes him for the better.
Hmm. Oh, I love that. Yeah. That's really lovely. So the box office, it was, as we said, released in 1997. The budget, an estimated $50 million. Justin, how much do you think it made worldwide?
I'll say 150 million for this one.
Oh, good guess. 109 million.
Okay.
So it definitely made money.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is at an interesting point in Fincher's career. It's post Seven, pre Fight Club.
Seven was like his Seven really like, big hit. Yep. First big hit. Yeah.
Yeah. First big hit. And yeah, so this is a really interesting movie. Justin, is this your favorite movie? If you had to pick a favorite movie.
Oh.
And let me define it as, let's say favorite is if you could only watch one movie for the rest of your life, you're watching this one.
Yeah, I think it's like around there, but it's definitely not number one. I would definitely not. And as much as I enjoyed watching it the second time, because I've only seen it twice, the first mm-hmm. time is unparalleled if you know nothing about the movie.
For sure.
That yeah. first experience is like my life before the game, my life after the game is now how I look at my life.
I love that. So let's just get right into it. The blender, a series of questions and superlatives to help us break down the movie into small morsels. So when, where, and how many times did you see this movie, Justin?
The first time was with you and our friend Tyler, who's been on the pod.
Oh, yeah.
Tyler Magruthison. Uh-huh. Yeah, so we watched this together at my apartment and probably like 3 years ago, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
And my jaw was just on the floor. I do you remember at all what you were thinking when you were watching that movie with me the first time? Were you like satisfied at all, like that I was just like so shook by it?
Oh, yeah.
I was very shook by it.
I was like, Justin is eating this up.
I was eating it up at that time.
I had watched it not long before we three watched it together. And I had watched it on my own. And I knew, the only things I really knew about it going into it is that it was Fincher and it had a like dark, twisted vibe. And I was like, oh boy, here we go. Because like Seven is a movie that I like, but is a little like, oh my gosh, this is just like, this is a bit much for me. And I even feel that way in some ways about Gone Girl. But like in watching the game, I was like, oh, this is... There's some disturbing elements, but like it's not that dark Fincher wise and it's thrilling. It's mm-hmm. like really, really thrilling, especially the first time you watch it.
Yeah.
And so the first time I watched it, I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Now, I did not think this would be one of your favorite movies ever. This is your favorite Fincher movie, right?
Yeah, it's at the top of my list.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's like always gonna be there for sure though. Because
oh, yeah.
the second time I'm nervous now after the second time. Like, it's not the same as the first time. And I definitely mm-hmm. definitely still enjoyed it. So now I'm worried there's going to be diminishing returns on this movie.
Sure.
The more times I watch it. But I love it still.
Yeah, absolutely. So you had watched it once with Tyler and I. You had watched it once for this. I have yeah. seen it three times. The first time was on my own. Second time with you. And then this third time, I watched it on Thursday before Pacers game 6 with my mom. And that was really interesting. I didn't know how that was going to go. It was a great experience. She enjoyed it overall. She's covering her eyes.
Yeah, covering her eyes. Like, do you remember what she was covering her eyes at specifically?
She was definitely covering her eyes during the scene where he walks into the hotel room and there's all of, like, the pictures and drugs that are like framing him.
Mm-hmm.
She was like not into that.
Sure.
And then I think there's one or two other times too, just when things got really intense.
Yeah.
But she was like, oh my gosh, like I don't even remember this movie coming out. And she was like, although I did just have like a kid long before that, so I was not necessarily keeping up with all the movies coming out of the
time. I don't think this movie was in your mom's TikTok algorithm back then, even though there wasn't
in
TikTok.
1997,
that was not getting served to her, like, hey, Lori, you should watch this movie.
Yeah, probably not. And yeah, we watched it before the Pacers game. Justin, where were you on that evening?
Oh, I was at the Pacers game and living it up with your wife and your dad.
Yeah, I want to litigate this a little bit. So,
okay, yeah, let's do it. We're going to litigate it on the pod.
Oh, last week. I don't know what day it
that
was.
That seems like a year ago.
Yeah,
now,
I know.
At this point.
It does feel like a long time ago. It was probably Tuesday. And we were hanging out. And we were hanging out with Hannah. And as you know, Justin, I'm very much a non-frugal, free-flowing, throw money at whatever I feel like kind of
person. Exactly. You're always doing that.
I'm a bit of a tightwad. And Hannah, you and Hannah were like, oh my gosh, we found super cheap tickets.
Like the cheapest, you'll like barely spend a dime on these tickets.
Yeah,
it's
you're
crazy.
Like, these are super cheap finals tickets. And I was like, okay. And it's like, these are not super cheap tickets. They might be relatively cheap for game 6 of the NBA
Finals. It's all relative.
It's
a relativism.
And so Hannah was like, you should go with us and we should all go. And she's like, but I want to make this decision, quote unquote, together. And I was like, okay. Uh-huh. And so
thought I was breaking up a marriage that night.
So then I was like, you know what? The Pacers actually mean a lot more to you guys than
for sure. Yeah.
Me, I just watch playoffs, but, we were like, all right, so you guys went, and so my mom and I watched the game, and then we watched the game.
Yes, incredible.
Back to back. And then I texted your wife, Abby, after the Pacers just thrashed the Thunder in game 6. I was like, we're the best spouses ever. And then Abby texted me back, and she's like, yeah, they owe us like a nice dinner or something. I was like, they absolutely do.
Heck
so
yeah.
Just so you know, you and Hannah are on the hook for that.
Worth every penny.
Yeah. Anyway, all that aside. Oh, and we're also recording on Monday, June 23rd. So we're not going to talk about Pacers game 7 unless Justin really wants to talk about it.
No. Oh, well, here we can take one quick break and say, I just need this podcast because a part of me died yesterday watching Tyrese Halliburton tear his Achilles. That's when we're recording the day after. So yeah, it was very sad. They lost the game.
Yeah.
Game 6, like there was still hope in the air. Now there's like, it's not looking good.
And we watched the game together and with a lot of other people. And
we did.
Something that was really annoying was how they kept cutting.
Oh my
gosh. They replayed him slamming the floor and crying, just grown man crying.
Yeah.
So many times I was like, this feels exploitative at this point. What are you guys doing? Like, what? Why do we need to see this again? And then the little banner was like, Tyrese Halliburton will not return. Like,
into
30
the third
times
or fourth
through the
quarter.
Game.
Yeah.
And by the fourth quarter, I was like, I think we know. I think we're aware. And I think that anyone tuning in late is going to pick up on that.
They're going to be like with someone too that probably right. Tell them that. And
yeah.
I'll just say no one's been super impressed with ESPN covering the finals. So
yeah.
get your crap together.
No, it has. Yeah, it sucked. Anyway. Okay. So we talked about how many times we've seen the movie. Okay. Justin, what feelings other than entertained did you feel while watching this movie?
One time I'm just going to like force you to talk about me being entertained. Like I was just super entertained.
No,
that's all
you
I was.
Can't be entertained. Actually, no, I just assume it's a given that for most movies you're just going to be entertained.
For a movie that we probably like at the very minimum.
Especially a movie like this.
Yeah, true. I feel stunned. That's one of the things I'd say. Some of the things that happen in the movie are jarring to see happen. And I also feel a little unsettled. Like I was rewatching back some of the scenes today, and specifically, I think if I was like 10 years old watching this scene where the guy on the TV starts talking to him and there's a clown in the room, I could see that giving me nightmares.
Oh yeah.
That guy's kind of scary. Like it's kind of a perfect person. I think that guy's actually like a newscaster. Cause on the cast list, it says he plays himself. So.
Yeah.
But he has a scary voice, however they change his voice with the TV, and it's like, like cutting in and out. So it's unsettling. And the clown in that room. But it's mostly stunned, especially the first time. Once you get to the last third of the movie, like scene after scene, I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had tense, like edge of my seat kind of thing. Very effective thriller. And then I also had paranoid, and paranoid in a good way, in the sense of like secondhand paranoid, where you're watching a character be super paranoid, where it feels like someone's out to get them. And in many ways, someone actually is out to get them. And it's just awesome. We'll talk about this a little later, but conspiracy movies are one of my favorite subgenres of movies. And frankly, so this is speaking generally, so I'm sure there are exceptions. They just don't make them like they used to. They do not make conspiracy movies like they used to, because there are just some incredible ones out there, and most of the ones that I've found that I really like are pretty relatively old. Anyway, so Justin, what to you resonates as true about this movie?
Okay. I stole this from the Criterion Collection pamphlet that they give you with like pictures and a article. So in the review he gives in that little pamphlet, he says Nicholas Van Orton knows exactly what's going on and he has no idea what's going on. And it's the same for audience members, because you know that he's going through the CRS stuff to participate in the game. And he knows that, and you know that, and then things are happening, and the audience and himself are questioning what the heck is happening.
I know. It is amazing, because it completely lays it out and tells you not exactly, it doesn't give you details, but it says what is happening. It's like, this is a game. But then you're like, but what is it, though?
Yeah, yeah,
and
exactly.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, and it's so mysteriously set up with the guys that he runs into, and they're talking about the game, and... Yeah, the way they talk about it is incredible, and it sets the tone for the game.
Yeah, that's awesome. I have right from the jump the grainy film reel of like his father and him as a kid, and all of that stuff is just super effective.
It is effective,
and it's so much better to do it that way than to be like, oh, flashback, or something like that, or even just like cut to with just regular camera. I think it's like when you're going into a movie, I think you're most, at the beginning, you're most open to whatever it's going to be. And so it just comes at you with that, and it wraps it up. And it goes back to it like very briefly once or twice. But then it's just like, boom, here's this. And you're like, oh, whoa, okay. And it's startling. It's grainy. It definitely has a little bit of that Seven feel where it just is kind of showing you. It's just like, oh, this is, oh. Yeah, and the whole thing just feels eerie, even though a lot of what you're seeing is quote-unquote nice. But you also know it's a Fincher movie, so you're going in and you're like, what messed up stuff's going to happen? Gross, horrible thing is going to scar me after watching this.
Right. That adds some depth to the movie that sometimes I think is forgotten in Fincher movies, and I forgot about it in this one with the memory and the looking back with him and his father and that cool filter on it. And it does, it adds context in a fun, or I don't know if fun's the right word, but it makes things a little more meaningful. Whereas this movie could definitely been made where it's just a thriller about this crazy game thing happening, but you get a good sense on the characters with how Fincher does it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I also said that San Francisco is just an all-time great film location.
Yes.
Like, you have the hilly streets, which is so cool, and you have the bay. And it's just, like, it's just a super cool location. It also was reminding me at a few points in the movie of the movie Vertigo with the San Francisco stuff and with, like, the Deborah Kerr Unger's character, and like there's like a female character who's very mysterious in Vertigo as well.
True.
And I'll just lay all my cards on the table and say that I've only seen the first half of Vertigo because I started it once and I was like,
oh, I didn't realize that. I thought you'd seen the whole thing.
No, I started it and I was like, this is not my thing. If Tyler was here right now, he's going to punch me in the face. I'm
seriously
very open to watching it again. It maybe was just a time and place thing, but I was just like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, I told you this already, and we're stepping on fun facts, but Fincher said there's a touch of Vertigo in it with the San Francisco stuff and the paranoia.
Love that.
And, yeah, I mean, I didn't think about the female character thing, but yeah.
Okay, so my other thing was Nicholas in this movie is such an absolute piece of human garbage. Like, especially at the beginning, he has a complete disregard of just social niceties.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the way he speaks to, like, the waitress, he's like, and he, like, grunts at everyone, and his secretary is, like, so mean. And, like, this movie gets compared a lot to A Christmas Carol, because he's, like, a Scrooge type character, and you're like, yeah. Like, it's almost unbelievable how much of a jerk you are.
The review in the pamphlet thing I have definitely compares it to that, Scrooge. Yeah, I said something similar to that too, where money and probably not an emotionally supportive childhood, plus that trauma of your dad dying in that type of way can really lead to this type of isolation and just a numb life that he leads.
For sure.
He has nothing going on. He just goes home to his housekeeper, and she's just like, you need anything else? And he's like, nope, I'm good, I'll see you. And has no human interaction besides the people he just bosses around.
Yep.
Or waitresses or whatever. So he's so isolated. And when he gets a visit from his brother, it's just kind of like, okay, well, what are you in town for? Do you need something or what's going on?
Yep.
Like, what's up?
So my mom, background, she has been a nurse for decades. She's like, this guy reminds me of a doctor that I worked with. I was like, oh, I'm sure he was a pleasure to work with.
I'm sure he was awesome. Yeah.
Sounds like a great guy.
Yep.
No, I love that. Another thing for what struck me as true, this is just something that I love in a movie. I love when a movie has a character sit through a series of weird images. So
when he
is doing like all the testing for the game and he's sitting there and it's just flashing words on the screen, it's like orgasm. And then just showing you pictures of just like, or like little video clips of like the most random things.
And yeah.
Like, this is just disturbing. It reminded me of the movie The Parallax View, which is a conspiracy movie. And it, there's a scene where a guy like does a little, like goes through this kind of procedure ritual thing, and he has to like watch all these like images and words, and it really reminded me of that.
Yeah, that's very true. I didn't think about that. There's definitely some great, I know no movies come to mind, but that is such an awesome thing in movies when that happens and you're like, this is gonna be weird.
Yeah.
Something else I had down was, this is one of those movies, I mean, we've already said it's a thriller, it's in that category, but it does take you on a ride, and it's, I was thinking about this, it could definitely be one of those movies where it's marketed, and there's those, like, over-exaggerated review quotes on the movie trailers where they're like, a wild roller coaster that leaves you breathless, like Variety or whatever.
Yeah.
And except, like, this one is actually true. Like, I would say, like, if I was going to show someone a movie they've never seen and I wanted to throw them for a loop, I'd choose this one because they're going to be, they're not going to have a grip on what's going on.
Absolutely. A few other things. So quick things. Google just ruins the game. So this was a movie that's like, oh, good this was made when it was. There are actually a lot of movies like that where you watch a movie from the 90s or sometimes even early 2000s where you're like, oh, then smartphones, and then this doesn't even happen.
Yeah, that's true.
Another, just like some movie tropes. So I talked about the showing of the images. Another thing, so you know when the toilet overflows with blood when he's in the hotel room?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so there's a movie called The Conversation, which is another amazing conspiracy movie where a toilet overflows in a very similar fashion. It's amazing.
Oh, wow.
Great movie. And then another, so this is another thing, and I almost hesitate to say trope because I can't think of that many movies that have this, but I have seen it before, and this is a gun in a book. So you know how he has the gun in the book?
Yeah.
Okay, so in the movie Hard Boiled, which I will be showing you very soon, because it's amazing, there's a gun in a book thing. Hard Boiled, amazing movie. But I just wrote, books are so much cooler when they have guns in them. And I like books too. But in a movie where you're just like, oh. And even when he like pulls down the book, you're like, I bet I know why he has that book.
Yeah.
I bet it's not for reading. I bet he's not reading To Kill a Mockingbird randomly.
No.
To calm his nerves.
That gun has a very important part later on, too, in the movie.
Yep.
Another thing I had down was Van Orton is just ground to dust in this movie.
Yeah.
By the game.
Yep.
Literally ground down. And he sees how everyone else in the world lives with no money, scraping to get by, and he's just completely ransacked. And like the insulation that he's built his life with around him is gone. So it's like his eyes have become more clear, and he's, by the end of the movie and when he realizes the game is over, it's like he's shocked back to life.
Yeah.
Because he loses everything and basically get some perspective in like a week, I guess.
The game is like a complete breakdown of his ego.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, well, hopefully we can build it back up again. But like when he is filthy hitchhiking, relying on the kindness of strangers, borrowing his car from his ex-wife, you're like, this man has never had to like ask for things before.
Yeah.
And depend on the kindness of others. Like when he's in the diner, he's like, can someone please take me to San Francisco? I have like $18, and he's in his filthy suit. You're like, oh man. I honestly, it almost feels like a biblical parable or something.
Yeah.
Like I almost think of like Prodigal Son or something. Not that it's the exact same. There are a lot of different story beats, and even some different like messages, but like just the whole like I am at the end of my rope. Like I there's nothing left.
Yeah. Like totally.
Yeah.
Something that I was when I was reading up on this movie was or no, I think it's actually from this review again. This guy's really good. He had a good review in the Criterion pamphlet, but he was talking about how Fincher and his movie characters are all very obsessive about things, which is also Fincher. So this guy, and he is determined to almost beat the game once he finds out what's going on or what he thinks is going on, and he's like trying to like get into their headquarters. Like that is definitely a major thing that happens, is this guy is obsessed now with the game and trying to get back at them almost because they've taken everything from him. So
few other things. Great White Rabbit needle drop, the song White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane. That's a song. You know what song I'm talking about?
Yeah, when he comes from the house and
it's just a great use of that song. It's amazing. Also, his graffitied house looked like a fun mini golf course. Like, have you ever done neon mini golf?
Yeah.
It honestly looked like that. I'm like, you know what? The art, the graffiti art isn't very nice. It's not saying nice things, but this looks, I'd put a golf ball around here.
That's true. It also could remind me of a laser tag, like a crazy laser tag place, or Hot Boys Chicken.
Yeah.
The place in Town Square.
It does. It kind of has a Hot Boys
vibe. If
you're
local to Indy, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I think Hot Boys is in places other than Indy.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a chain.
Yeah. Nothing's not a chain these
days.
I know,
unfortunately. Anything else for you, Justin?
I just said this movie's a masterpiece. I love it. I think even Fincher himself has said he's almost regretful on the last third of the film and how it ends, and I'm kind of like, why? I mean, I love it. I think it ends great, and
I love the ending, and part of that is because I like sweet endings, and I get people who are like, but this doesn't fit the tone because it's dark and twisted, and I'm like, I don't know.
I don't
like,
get that whatsoever,
I do. It feels a little off-putting to me, if I'm being honest, but I just like it. I don't know what to say. And I like how it's just like a building up. So like with the, also I think the end delivers what the title promises.
Totally.
Like, it's a game. And at the end of the day, the whole thing's a game. And it's like, it might feel silly because it takes you to such like crazy places, but it's like, you knew it was a game all along. And I think that the way that the ending goes, I think that that works. I don't know. It works really well.
Yeah.
We can talk a little later. I think it's debatable if this would realistically work on a person.
Totally. But, we can talk about that later.
But
yeah.
As a movie and as like just a story, I think that's great. It also fits the like the, I love the foreshadowing at the beginning where the guy, he sees the guys who are planted who are talking about the game. And the guy's like, John 9. He's like, once I was blind, now I can see. And you're like, yeah. This is great. I love it. It's
awesome.
A character story about this guy changing. It's nice.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, one other thing on this. This movie, a feeling. This kind of goes to the feeling question too. And I think there's a reason why I love conspiracy movies and paranoia movies. It evokes a total lack of control. Like once the game gets going, Nicholas is like, he has no sense of control, and it just, there's this feeling that you're screwed and the feeling of doom, I would say. And in my nightmares, not to get too personal, but like a lot of times it's like there's a complete sense of dread.
Yeah.
And like,
oh yes.
And like, oh, I'm screwed. I have no control over this.
Literally.
And sometimes those are like in realistic ways in my dreams where it's like, oh, this is like a situation that I actually could find myself in, or realistically I wouldn't find myself in this situation, but it's a dream, so I feel like I would. But then also sometimes it's silly, but it's like, I have, if anybody out there knows about psychoanalysis and can tell me what this dream means, this is what I've heard this dream means, and I have been too lazy to research it, / I don't know how much I want to look into it for myself, but I always have dreams of losing my teeth. And I think that that's a control thing as well, where you're like, oh, it's just gone. Like, I'm, all right. Well, yeah. So anyway.
And Nick's uncontrollable dreams, or even the game, it's like me and Hannah, like, sell his house to get Pacers tickets. Pacers, like, NBA Finals tickets. We're like, sorry, Nick. And then Hannah's like, you're poor now. I'm going to go marry a rich guy. See you later. And Nick's like, no, this is not the game. What is happening?
No. Oh, my gosh. That's terrifying.
Yeah, it is terrifying.
Anything else for What's True, Justin? Or we're moving on.
There's something that popped in my head as I was thinking about what is true in this whole conversation, is that Fincher, I think this is why I like Fincher movies, and specifically this one, like, the best, is because he said, I like when I don't know where a movie's going, and that's, like, the epitome of this movie. Mm-hmm. No idea where it's going, and it's awesome.
So, what is not true about this movie? What does not vibe with you, or what do you think the movie puts forth that you don't like?
I didn't have much. I'm just, like, thinking on my feet right now about this one. Maybe... why is there a whole service basically catering to rich people to be like, you need help, so we're gonna waste all this money and resources on this?
Hey, there are lots of things that are catered to rich people.
It's very true. I mean, like, maybe this shouldn't be one of them. That I don't know.
Would you rather it be state sponsored so everybody could get the game?
Yeah, everyone should be able to get the game, and it'd be easier because the whole state. Well, I like that. That's what's mind blowing is like how the resources they have for this movie is insane for like CRS to pull this off. But yeah, I don't have much. I really wrote down nothing. I was just thinking on my feet if there's anything that I don't think is true.
I have something.
Yeah, you say stuff.
Actually, I have a few things. One, I would not bring that clown into my house.
No.
When he sees the clown, I'm like, no, don't
sit on
touch
a chair.
It.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Just looking at him. Why do you want the clown looking at you, sitting in a chair like a person?
Okay, I have always hated clowns.
You have a specific fear, or not like, I don't know, if it's a fear, but you hate clowns.
I wouldn't say it's a phobia. Like, if a clown walked by me in the street, I'd just walk by them, whatever. But I also have always, they have always bothered me, and I do not like them. Even before I was exposed to, like, Batman or, like, with the Joker, like, insane clown posse, or, like, weird, like, clown death
it.
Creep. Like, it, yeah, yeah, subcultures. Like, they just always creep me out. Like, even at the circus, it's like, no, this is, I don't like it, and I can't even put words to what it is. I just hate them. And so if I saw a freaking clown doll in my driveway, I would not be taking it in my house. Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
No, definitely not.
Another thing... And I know that Christine is in the game at this point, but when he brings the blackmail pictures to her and he's like, is this you in the pictures? And she's like, why do you think this is me? He's like, you have a red bra. And she's like, no, you're silly. And I'm like, if that were me, I'd be pissed. I'd be like, you think this is me because the person's wearing a red bra? Like, I don't know. Yeah. I feel like I'd be a little more annoyed.
I mean, that's fair.
But she's also part of the game, so she just kind of plays along. The last thing, and my mom pointed this out too.
Oh, nice
work, watching.
Corey.
At the end of the movie, when he is talking to his ex-wife, she kisses him on the lips at the end.
Oh, my gosh. Yep.
And
I
when that happened,
too.
I just flashed to, like, the Friendship movie, Tim Robinson. Yeah. Like, you guys kiss on the lips.
Yeah, you guys kiss on the lips now.
When that happened, my mom was like, what do you think his ex-wife's husband thinks of her just kissing him on the lips? I was like, that's a really good question.
That's a really weird thing to do.
That's a really weird thing to do. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. I kind of forgot about that.
Didn't love that.
Nope.
Thought that was weird.
Uh-huh. That was very weird.
Yeah. Anyway.
So are those all of them?
Yeah.
All right. Those are good ones. Those are definitely some things to think about.
Yeah. Which character is the best hang? Which is the worst hang? Who's the best hang, Justin?
Ooh. I'm going to say Conrad.
Yeah.
I think Conrad's the best thing. I also had Nicholas's ex-wife because
she seems
cool and normal, and I'm like, yeah,
she
I get why you'd probably not want to be with this guy anymore. You seem reasonable. Yeah, Conrad's fun because, like, first off, the gall to do this for your brother.
Yeah.
And you know who he is, but I guess that's the people who need it most is the people who are like, oh, how's this going to go with them? Yeah, he seems fun. He's definitely going to be a good time. I don't know. He just seems fun.
Yeah.
Is that how you had?
Yeah, that's who I had. Okay. I said Conrad, and then I said sober or wild. Because it looks like he's sober and he's gotten his life together now.
Yeah.
But he'd also probably be fun to hang out with when he's going crazy with his family's money.
Yeah.
And then I put in parentheses, most likable Sean Penn? Because oftentimes, and I think a lot of people have this, when I see Sean Penn popping up in a movie, I'm like, I don't really want to watch you, Sean Penn.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see him in this movie, I like him a lot.
Yeah. So, you haven't seen him in Daddy-O, so you don't know.
Have not seen Daddy-O. Have you seen Daddy-O?
No, I haven't. Oh, okay. I just remember it's him and Dakota Johnson. It looks like the strangest movie. I don't know what to think of it.
Who's the worst hang, Justin?
I definitely said the worst hang was Nicholas.
Yep.
Because for 95% of the movie, he's a dickhead.
Yeah,
well, actually,
he's awful.
Towards the end, he gets better. But yeah, he's still not great.
Honestly, would I want to hang out with him after it? No.
No, probably
not.
No.
But I'd rather hang out with him after it than before it if I have to hang out with him.
Would you want to hang out with the guy who interacts with them most at CRS? Like the guy who he holds a gunpoint to bring into there?
That Revhorn?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He seems like a good dad. He's just bringing his kids to the zoo. He's just a local actor.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know. He's off-putting for some reason.
He is off-putting. He's the perfect character for that.
He just gives sleazeball.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's slimy.
Yeah.
I don't trust him.
He's too skinny.
Yeah. Yeah.
We might have something against bald people because we also do not like Alex Caruso, who's bald for the Thunder.
Yeah. True. Tyler, I'm sorry if you're listening to this.
Yeah. Sorry, Tyler. We don't want to discriminate.
Which character would be the best Super Smash Brothers edition?
I had trouble with this one. For
I did too. We can skip this one on some. Like, here's the thing, Justin. My knuckles are loosening on the grip of Smash character because I'm like, when this question came to me, I was like, this is the best question ever.
Yeah.
But then for a lot of movies, I'm like, this is probably something that most people could just see on its face. It's not necessarily the best question ever.
Yeah, it might.
I think if it applies, it applies.
It might be better in theory. I said Nicholas just because he's
okay
going through some stuff, and he goes crazy at the end. He's he's getting violent like Smash characters are.
I said Christine because she's the only person in this movie who like does stuff and seems capable of things.
I did consider her as well. Yeah.
Yeah, so Smash character. Let's see if it comes back around.
Yeah.
Although I will say, the Social Network answer
was
incredible. That's why we have it. That's why we have it. Okay.
Yeah. We can sub and start questions as needed too. You know,
yeah.
Like
exactly. Okay. Any movie specific questions for you, Justin?
Oh yeah, plenty of them. So, when you think of David Fincher, is this the most Finchery movie? Like, does this get down to his essence? Because that was part of what the review was getting at too in the Criterion DVD thing was like this more than any other, even like it mentioned like Social Network or Fight Club, like this in that person's opinion was the most Finchery you could get when you're watching a Fincher movie. And let me just pull up his name real quick. He's like a professor at Columbia.
Let's hear this guy's name.
Columbia University. David Sturrett or Sturrett.
Let's see it.
Bottom of that page.
Oh yeah, David Sturrett.
Yeah, have you heard of this guy?
No.
Okay, just curious. But yeah, he—that's what he was saying, and I was like, that's interesting. Maybe that's also why I like it because I do like David Fincher's movies a ton, and maybe I like this one the most because it's the most Fincher out of all of them.
Yeah, I would say the one that comes to mind for me for like what is the essence of Fincher is Gone Girl. Because it's so disgusting, and his whole thing is like...
You've yet to watch The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
That is true. I haven't seen that one. But like Fincher's whole thing is like, he has said this before, like people are perverts, and that's kind of like his thing.
His whole movie.
And I'm like, yeah, that's Gone Girl, like in every way.
Very true.
And just, yeah, I think that one gets at his essence. And also that one, I think, gets at his meanness. I think he's pretty mean. And I think part of the reason I like this movie a lot is it's kind of sweet a little bit at the end.
It is kind of sweet.
And Gone Girl?
No.
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
The, like, this one I have number one, and then high up the list for me is Panic Room, because these two are twisty, thrillery, the most twisty, thrillery, gosh, that's a weird word to say, Fincher movies, and I just love those ones.
Yeah, absolutely. Justin, when the game starts and he has a clown in his room and the guy starts talking to him from the television, do you think everyone watching the financial news was seeing like the cut-ins where they're just like, what? Who's Nicholas Van Orton?
That would be incredible if they were. I definitely can say confidently no, but I'd like to think they would. And then they're just like, what the heck is happening? And he's like, well, that wouldn't matter to you, fat cat millionaire. And they're like, what the heck?
Yeah, I love it.
That was weird. And also another addition to how creepy that was when his housemaid or whatever walks in the doorway and then he just like shifts back to normal. I'm like, oh, I don't like that.
Oh, yeah.
The guy
in
the TV shifts back to normal. And then she leaves and then he switches back and he's like, who was that? And I'm like, gosh, stop, dude. You're weird.
Yes. Okay. How many years will it take for Nicholas to get over the mental and emotional damage of the game and trust issues that come along with it?
Oh, yeah. He's scarred.
Like, is he ever getting in a taxi again?
Oh, yeah, maybe not.
Do you think maybe with the advent of Uber and rideshare and Lyft and all of that, he's like, okay, there's the mental separation. They're at least not yellow. I can give it a try.
Yeah, they're not yellow cabs. And just I'm going to prefer women drivers. Maybe I think it's man drivers now, since his driver that drove him into the bay was a man. Also, yeah, I did say that after my first review or my first watch, I reviewed it, and I was like, he's going to need some therapy after this.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine giving this to, like, this would never happen if in this fake world. Imagine giving the game to like a 15-year-old or something. Maybe messed up for life.
Yeah, I think I would mess me up for life if it happened right now.
Yeah, and yeah, we're adults. Yeah.
Do you think that Christine/Claire, her actual name, do you think she is an aspiring Hollywood actor and this is what she's doing as she's trying to make her way into movie acting?
Yes, that's actually a really good point.
She's putting this on her resume.
They got cameras like everywhere. She's like, dude, look at this scene. I'm killing it. He totally thinks I'm not in on it, but I'm in on it.
Yep.
So if this happened to you, would you feel grateful, angry, confused, all of the above?
I think if this happened to me, the thing that I would want to do and try to do in my nice picture of myself is to be quiet and reflect and say, why was I so awful? Like, because his brother is like, you're getting to be such an asshole. That's what he says to him at the end of the movie. I'm like, really, that much?
And seriously.
Like, but he is that much. And it's just like, I would want to, like, reflect in reality. I'd probably be pissed. What did you guys do? Like,
exactly.
Like, you signed the papers. And like, well, yeah, but I didn't read them.
Right. I didn't read them. Also,
what if in the paperwork it's like, and also in the plan, you will throw yourself from a building. You're going to end up buried in Mexico. And people are going to shoot at you.
Yeah.
But they're not real bullets, so it'll be okay.
Yeah, it's like, okay, sweet. I guess this is fine.
Click box, check mark, sign up for terms and agreements. Terms and agreements.
Yeah, it's like the Apple things where you just scroll through all of them. You're like, I'll accept them. It doesn't matter. Also, at some point, do you just like try and call the CRS hotline? They give him the hotline number. Does he ever consider that in the movie? I can't remember. And also, at one point, do you try that still, even though you think they're a sham at one point?
I don't know. I would if I was afraid that they were draining my bank accounts, I probably would not call them at that point.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, what is that going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's the CRS hotline. It's not like a hotline. It's their own hotline. It's like, oh, let me call the people who are scamming me.
Right. Justin, did the game make Nicholas a better person? Let's zoom this out 5-10 years.
Uh-huh.
Is there any change? Or does he just go right back to it?
I think the two... Yeah, I don't know.
Do they have to game him again?
Can you imagine getting game twice? You're like, fuck, I'm a suck. Goodness. He either, I think, has changed for the better, and he's like, man, I needed that wake-up call. I just got a perspective that could have taken, like, 10 years for some people to acquire if, like, their life went down the drain. Or... he just goes insane. He could definitely go insane after this movie and be like, like just looking over his shoulder all the time and not knowing what's real, what's not. And yep. he's just so messed up from it that he yep. can't. He goes into an insane asylum or something.
I'm pretty sure when you sign the CRS papers, it is saying you cannot legally sue them. So
probably.
Pretty sure that would have to be the case.
Yeah.
This
is related. This is my question about the game. Does the game work because it just puts you into shock? Because, like, at the very, very end when he's on top of the roof and this... And he, like, shoots his brother.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of people coming out this door. And at that point, still, he thinks it's a sham. And he's going to, like, try and kill them. But yeah. it ends up being his brother. And he shoots him. And he thinks his brother's dead. He's not. So, is that how it works? It's like, oh, my gosh. None of that was real. I was in shock. And I'm still kind of in shock. But it's not real. So, I need to change. I don't know. Like, how does the game work?
I think the idea is that it, and I said this a little bit earlier, like, I think it just strips down your ego and yeah. your sense of control and, like, I can do whatever I want, especially if you're, like, a multimillionaire who, yeah, just treats people horribly. I think the idea is, like, you get a taste of having to live off of other people's kindness or, not knowing, like, that everything is okay. And ideally that makes you a better person because you have to depend on other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
This would be an interesting, it wouldn't be as good probably, but this would be an interesting TV show, even if it was just for one season and every episode was a different game. Can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. I'd just like to see other games and see how they work.
Actually, Justin, so apparently Kevin Williamson, he, I believe, made Scream. I haven't seen any of the Scream movies. He's making a show of the game. The most recent article that I could find was from 2024. So who knows if this actually will happen or not, but I didn't see that it was canceled. And what do you think of that? So, like, what do you think? Good idea or not? I don't know if it's per episode or per season. It's like a different person, but it's going to be an anthology series.
I would like it to be, for a TV show, I think I would like it to be roughly an hour episode and each one is an anthology. So it's each one's different.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea. I don't think it's going to be as good because I'm assuming Fincher's not going to want to.
No, Fincher's, I don't think he's involved.
Yeah, so he's not involved. So I don't think that's going to, it's going to share some DNA in the fact that it's the same setup, but it's not going to be done exactly how Fincher would do it because he's Fincher. But
it's also like, I kind of think that you'll know the ending to every episode. Like, not the exact specifics, but it's like, well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to be fair, a lot of TV shows, you kind of know how it's going to end every time, so.
Yeah, and you will, yeah, maybe not get the same twist, but you will get to see how the game plays out in different environments and with different people, which I think will be fun because this was a very specific type of person.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think it's a fun idea. I don't know. I'll probably watch it if it comes out.
Justin, if this movie could be directed by someone else, let's just say if you had to choose a different director, because I know you like Finchie.
I love my
Finchie boy. Who would you choose?
This is a good question. While I'm thinking about this,
I can share mine.
Yeah, share yours.
Hitchcock.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Just because he's a twisty
okay,
guy.
We're going dead or alive.
Oh, yeah. It's a hypothetical.
Truly.
So,
yeah.
He's a twisty guy. And, yeah, we've actually already brought up Vertigo, one of his movies. So, what do you think?
No, I think that is actually probably the best answer. I don't think I can find a better answer than that. I'm still going to, like, search for one or, like, a guy that could do it. But that is a great answer. What about – this is really random. I don't even know if this is something. The Safdie brothers?
I think if – you are one of the people who wants that depressing ending and thinks that the ending to this one was too nice, the Safdies would really bring you there.
They really would. Also, just because he's one of the greatest of all time, why not just give Scorsese a shot at this?
Marty?
Yeah.
That would be...
He did Shutter Island.
He did. I don't know.
Which is pretty twisty.
There's
a, or there's a big twist, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I almost said I don't know if there's enough interpersonal strife in this one for Marty, but, like, there is, but it's not played up a lot. I mean, it's there. It is played up, but just not in a super emotional way, I would say. Finchie, yeah. My take, I like him a lot. He's yeah. not an emotional guy.
Yeah.
He's not an emotional director, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so. I think I found actually the my little niche director who I think should direct okay. this instead is M. Night Shyamalan.
Ooh, there'd have to be like three more twists. Yeah. But actually, you know what? I would love to see that. That's a great answer because I tend to like M. Night quite a bit. And I, yeah, his whole thing is like, he'll have a thing where the conceit, the central idea is weird and he'll just play with it. And I yeah. love that.
Yes.
That's a great answer.
Yeah. I think that would be the best answer besides Hitchcock. Those two would be interesting.
I'm going to be honest. I'd rather watch M. Night's version than Hitchcock's. Hitchcock is the one that came to mind, but sure. I'd rather watch M. Night's. Hitchcock is a real hit or miss for me. Like, I love Rope. Psycho is one of those movies. I'm like, you know, this feels like an old movie, but it's really interesting what, like, because I talked to some people who absolutely love it, and it's just really interesting to me, particularly for old movies, like, what people are like, oh, this is, like, I really like some movies that sometimes people are like, this is slow, and I'm like, I actually don't get it. Like, I actually mm-hmm. don't get what to you is slow about this, mm-hmm. but then some movies I'm like, mm-hmm. and people love it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good question, though. So... some other things I have is
yeah.
when, and I was just thinking about this as we were talking about it, when does the game practically start? Like, my question is, since Conrad probably assumes he's going to call CRS, is he setting things in motion even before he makes the call?
Conrad?
Well, not Conrad, but like he has CRS start placing things. Like, they place that waitress there because she's there when they have their first lunch.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I'm just wondering if there's other things we didn't even notice or that you're not supposed to notice that they're already getting in place for him and his game.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah, I think they've gotten it in place beforehand.
Think how much prep work this takes.
Yeah, it'd be crazy. When he hands him the bill at the end, I'm like, that's got to be over 100 mil.
You think so?
Yeah. Okay. Because think about how much a movie costs. This movie costs $50 million to make, about.
Yeah.
And to make it in real life and make it believable to a person, like, I don't know. I just feel like it
is the whole is the whole side of the city that he's living in just actors at that point? They're like, we're going to buy out the side of the city. Everyone leave. We are putting in people here for this game.
Pretty much.
Like, how does that even work? And this is just a little question I had too when they're coming up on the roof and he has the gun and Christine's like, don't shoot. Like, it's your birthday party. Don't shoot them. But he wants to kill them.
Yep.
Why would he, as soon as the door cracks open, just be like, I'm shooting them?
Like, yeah, that's a great question. I don't think there's a good answer to it. Other than that, like, he's in a state where he's like a caged animal.
He is.
He's like, he's backed into a corner and he's like, I'm just going to. Yeah.
He's unhinged.
And it's like very much like his fight or flight response because it keeps showing the door and then like sawing through it.
Yes,
and him with the gun. It's like, oh.
Yeah, he's probably scared to death. That's true.
Yep.
That's probably the only reasonable answer.
Yeah.
That's it for me for questions, by the
way. Any fun facts?
Yes. I have. Well, I already mentioned this one, the Fincher Vertigo thing, the connection there. Fincher wanted to also film this movie before 7, but then Brad Pitt got on board for 7, and he was like, you know what, let's just do 7 first. And
you got to go with Brad.
Got to go with Brad, the rising star. and then I already mentioned the other one where Fincher doesn't like, or he likes movies that he doesn't know where they're going.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Claire de Lune plays in this movie. Do you know when?
What is Claire de Lune?
The song Claire de Lune that's like dun dun dun.
Okay. I really don't know the song.
You definitely recognize it. And we're about to have like a Claire de Lune corner on here on this show because it was in Come On, Come On. I'm pretty sure it was in another movie that we talked about recently.
Whoa.
And it's played all the time. It's in like Ocean's 11, it's in so many things. And Claire de Lune is playing in the restaurant where she spills the wine during that scene. It's in the background, and I always am clocking that Claire de Lune. I love that song.
Wait, is it the song that's pretty slow? It's like dun dun.
Yeah.
Dun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah. All right. I didn't. If I had known that's what you were talking about, I still wouldn't have guessed it. That's crazy. I did not notice that.
This is an unfun fact related to a star of this movie, Michael Douglas.
Oh, no.
Do you know about this?
No.
Okay. Michael Douglas. So this is not funny. He got throat cancer. Not funny.
Oh.
Not good. In real life, he got throat cancer.
Not funny, Nick.
It's not. And he's still alive. I do not know the status of it. But in an interview, someone was like, is this from like smoking? Because he had smoked. And he claimed it was from HPV contracted via cunnilingus. And so just everybody out there be careful. Because I was like, there's no way that's true. And then I looked it up and it can happen. Like, you can, yeah. And so
that just sounds like the fakest thing when you see it
right.
face value. But
I
yeah.
know. The fact that like he just brought that out in an interview was like, whoa. And then I was like, is this like, are you trying to make a joke here? Are you trying to be, I don't know. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, okay, apparently it can happen. So just be careful out there. Okay. Ripley reaction.
Oh, yes.
Ripley?
Need a Ripley
okay,
reaction.
Okay, so watched this with my mom at my parents' house, and they have a pretty nice sound system.
Oh,
and
yeah. Oh, did you watch this in
Ripley,
the basement?
Yeah, Ripley was losing his mind. When the dog was chasing them, the German Shepherd.
Oh, Crosby also was losing his mind.
Ripley was going up and like barking at the screen and like jumping up at the wall. And then he was kind of locked into the movie after that. He was just sort of watching. He barked again when they're getting shot at and the car alarm goes off. He barked at that. He was losing it when he was running up to the rooftop at the end. I don't know if Ripley just couldn't handle the suspense.
Too intense for Ripley.
There were no dogs or anything, but he was like, oh my gosh. And then he went crazy when he jumps through the window. He was like, wow, and he's like barking a ton. Yep. Anyway.
That's wild. Ripley.
So Ripley's reaction.
Crosby was definitely locked in when the dogs were there. There was like a big dog scene with the dog chasing him. And then there's two other dogs on the other side of a fence that the German Shepherd starts barking its head off. Well, they're just barking at each other. And Crosby was not having that.
Right. What should you pair this movie with? You can pair it with literally anything within the human experience.
I said you should pair this movie with a psychedelic drug and then sit back and enjoy because you will be as confused as anything you've ever seen.
I love that you brought psychedelic drugs into this because that's part of my answer as well.
Oh, yay.
So I said... I said, spending so much time online, you believe that the earth is flat, vaccines are microchipping you, and that birds aren't real.
Yes.
But then in reality, because you know what? Don't believe those silly conspiracies, because I have a list of actual real conspiracies that if you're interested in conspiracies, you should look up.
Yes.
So learn about actual conspiracies and cover-ups, such as the Pentagon Papers or Watergate or Operation Northwoods, which is a proposed CIA operation that would carry out terrorism against American civilians, blame it on Cuba, and then go to war with Cuba. Thank God it did not happen. Operation MKUltra, where the CIA was just dosing people with LSD to find mind control. It sounds really stupid because it is. And they did it. Operation Midnight Climax, a subset of Operation MKUltra, where sex workers were used to dose unsuspecting Johns with LSD and the CIA would observe for their mind control experimenting purposes. This is also just a place that I'm going to plug a book I really like called Poisoner in Chief. It is about this guy named Sidney Gottlieb who like controlled a lot of these mind control experiments. Did not do a lot of great things. Did a lot of really bad things. It's a book by Stephen Kinzer. Check it out if you're interested.
Got some really good conspiracy stuff there. I'm going to have to look into the CIA stuff. There's some wild stuff they're doing there.
It's crazy. They've done a lot of bad things.
Surprising.
Yeah. Isn't that so shocking? Our government did bad things, Justin.
What?
You ready for some quote tennis?
I am.
All right. You want to start or you want me to start?
I can start it.
All right.
But what does that matter to a bloated millionaire fat cat like you?
I was drugged and left for dead in Mexico, and all I got was this stupid t-shirt.
They just fuck you, and they fuck you, and they fuck you. And just when you think it's all over, that's when the real fucking starts.
There goes $1,000. your shoes cost $1,000? That one did.
Every day, I'm a goddamn human pinata.
I just found myself laying naked on a beach near Ibiza, and all of a sudden it clicked. October 12th, Nikki's birthday.
I had to do something. You're becoming such an asshole.
I don't care about the money. I'm pulling back the curtain. I want to meet the wizard.
No, I used to buy crystal meth off the maitre d'.
I'm being toyed with by a bunch of depraved children.
It'll make your life fun.
Nobody asked you to play dad. Did I have a choice?
Did I have a choice?
Did I have a choice?
Conrad! That's it for me.
I have one more. Seymour Butts. Never get tired of that one.
Never gets old. When they pulled that out, I was like, wow, this is a thing in the 90s.
Oh, Seymour Butts. Sure. It's a classic. Okay, one more. The game is tailored specifically to each participant. Think of it as a great vacation, except you don't go to it. It comes to you. That feels like the most phony, gross pitch ever. I hate it so much.
So bad. Also, when he says they're like an experimental book of the month club, yep. I think that's what he says. And yep. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
All right, Justin, I asked you to prepare a list of paranoia movies / conspiracy movies. What do you got on your list?
Okay, let's go through it.
Ranked or not ranked?
It's not ranked. Okay. I just put together a list.
All right.
So no particular order. I want to know if you've seen each one, though. I'm going to show them. Disturbia.
No.
Oh, with Shia LaBeouf. That movie's wild.
Okay.
And it's a valid paranoia movie where you understand why they're paranoid.
Sure.
The Thing.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah, there's an element of that.
They're paranoid
sure.
Definitely when they know about the alien. And they're trying to figure out who's who, what's what.
Okay. Yeah, I never thought of it in that way, but yeah, for sure.
Yeah, a lesser paranoid movie, but yeah.
Yeah.
Memento?
Yeah.
Especially towards the end. It gets more paranoia towards the end,
yeah.
I think.
That's good.
This one probably is my favorite out of all of them, The Truman Show.
Yeah.
He gets so paranoid at the end for good reason.
That's a good list, and a very different list than mine.
Well, wait, I had two more.
Oh, okay.
Cool. I had It Follows. This is a newer one.
Have not seen that one.
Yeah. That one is newer, and it's also like alien adjacent, I think, if I remember correctly. And then also, this one I wrote down because I've seen it, but it's been a while, and I had a hard time remembering if it was actually paranoia or conspiracy theory.
Okay.
Actually, no, it is. I think it is because it's conspiracy theory. All the President's Men.
Yeah, well, it's not even theory. It's just conspiracy.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. I have a list. This is not really a ranked list, but it goes from... I like all of these movies. It goes from least liked to most, but not one after the other.
It's like
just
tiers
tends
almost.
To trend that way.
Yeah.
Yes, it's more like tiers, but less specific.
Uh-huh.
So I have Prince of the City, which is a good police corruption movie. Rebel Ridge. Came out.
Oh, that's a conspiracy movie?
Yeah, another good police corruption.
Oh, makes me want to watch that movie more.
Serpico, another good police corruption movie. Snake Eyes, which is Nick Cage, Brian De Palma movie. It's pretty fun. The Manchurian Candidate, and I haven't seen the original. I've seen the Jonathan Demme 2004 remake with Denzel Washington, and I like it quite a bit. The Game, Enemy of the State, Tony Scott. Gene Hackman, Will Smith. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's underrated, in my opinion. Night Moves.
Yep. I saw that pop up.
All the President's Men. The Parallax View, which I mentioned before. JFK. Great one. Now we're getting into like the really...
The cream of the crop here.
The Conversation. Francis Ford Coppola's The Conversation. Also with Gene Hackman. Also Night Moves with Gene Hackman. He's making a lot of appearances here. Blowout. Brian De Palma movie with John Travolta. Very, very good. Marathon Man. And let me just pause on Marathon Man real quick. I was so pissed. Why was I pissed, Justin? Why was I pissed?
You were pissed because about 3 days before this happened, maybe 3 or 4 days, you were like, we got to do Marathon Man. This movie's awesome. This should be the next movie we do together.
And I wanted to do it really badly because not that we're competing with no one because not many people listen to this, but here's the thing. We try to not rehash everything, and The Rewatchables, a podcast.
Very popular movie podcast.
You may have heard of it. And I was like, we gotta put out Marathon Man before The Rewatchables does, because I love that movie, and I have a feeling they're gonna put it out, because they mentioned it.
Nick was paranoid about
it.
He's like, we're gonna put it out soon, guys.
I was, and I was right about the conspiracy. They put it out.
They did.
They put it out last week, and we had talked about it like 4 days before. We're still doing it. You can fight me, Bill Simmons. And we're still going to do it. It's going to be fun.
Next, whenever they do the Rewatchables in Indianapolis, we're going to have Bill on the pod. That'd be incredible.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine?
I saw their producer posted on Letterboxd, Marathon Man, and he usually is doing that for movies that they are doing a Rewatchables on. And I was like, no!
But they had a very good episode. And we should just watch that movie at some point, because it's very fun. Yeah. I really like it a lot.
Yeah.
The last one on the list, this is just an all-timer, The Insider.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That one, it hits so many quadrants. It's yeah. Michael Mann. It's Dunkachino. It is based on a true story, and it happened like right after all this stuff happened. It is the rare Hollywood critique of corporate greed and how that influences our media. It's amazing.
That's awesome.
So good.
Yeah, I've seen that one. It's just, I had a hard time recalling a lot of it, so that's why I didn't put it on my list, but I did see it as like on lists of conspiracy paranoia movies.
I never thought that a movie about the producer of 60 Minutes would be interesting, and it's
awesome.
So good.
Does The Place Beyond the Pines fall on this at all? It's more of like a subplot with that, with the police stuff.
I wouldn't put it on there. I wouldn't say it's like...
Probably not.
There is some paranoia elements with Bradley Cooper's character during like one quarter of the movie. Uh-huh. I don't think there's enough of it to make it a conspiracy or paranoia movie.
Probably not.
We're being kind of loose with it. Like, a lot of the movies I mentioned were conspiracy. Not all of them were conspiracy. They could also be, like, just paranoia.
But yeah.
Actually, I think all of mine may have some element of conspiracy. Anyway, conspiracy, paranoia. They don't make them like they used to, but there are a lot of good ones out there. If anybody has any good conspiracy movies that were not listed by either of us, reach out to us.
Yeah, please do.
We're on Blue Sky. We're on Instagram.
These movies are awesome.
Yeah.
Conspiracy movies.
Amazing. Anything else, Justin, for the good of the cause?
Yeah, I wanted to throw out best scenes from this movie. I do this every now and then.
Mm.
So some ones I'd written down, and then you can throw other ones out or yeah whatever.
Uh-huh.
So scene with the TV talking to him. We've talked about that quite a bit. That's scary, but also a good scene.
Yep.
The cab ride.
Yep.
Where he gets thrown into the yeah bay. Driving with Conrad, like when I think Conrad comes over,
uh-huh,
and they drive, and then that's yep when he says yep that crazy quote.
Oh,
like,
another
you
thing, my mom jumped so much when he is standing at his door and Conrad runs up and
yeah
jump scares and like slams his hand on the door and he's like,
uh-huh,
ah.
Yep.
My mom like jumped so high. It was awesome.
Amazing. She's in on it. So when they go to the cabin and he's calling his
okay
lawyer.
For me, I have the scene before that, before they're driving, when he's in her house.
Yep.
And he starts looking. He opens up the picture frame and it's just a magazine cutout. And she's like, that was my first communion. And he's like, you take it out.
Take
and
the
like
photo out.
Take
yep
the photo. And then he goes to the books and he like pulls them down and they're all just like
yep
stapled together and it's only half of the book.
Yeah.
Also, I'm like, wouldn't it just be easier to just put books there?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't know. Yeah, and she's like, I can't believe they didn't like do the house the right way or whatever.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That
yeah
is a great one for sure. And then the rooftop. That scene's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, so probably my favorite is when he is in her apartment and he just like, that's such a great twist where he's like, all of this is fake.
Yep.
All of your fears are true.
Uh-huh. That's
yeah
a great
I
one
really like the scene with his brother as they're driving. That's a really good one.
Uh-huh.
And
the keys are in the glove compartment and he's like, you're
uh-huh
in on it.
Yeah,
the keys are in. He's like, no, you're the one who told me about cigarettes. He's like, no, you're in on it.
Yep. And also the scene where he gets the hamburger from the little like oven. I'm like, that looks like a really good hamburger.
From the oven? Oh, yes, for his birthday.
Yeah, for yep his little birthday.
It does
burger
look like a good looks like a good hamburger.
It does. Yeah. No Crossroads Corridor, unfortunately.
Oh.
No Indiana connections that I could find to this movie. Unless I was really going, like, pulling at straws, and I don't really want to do that.
No, yeah, there's probably not much for this one. David Fincher once talked to an Indiana person. Isn't that crazy?
One time, David Fincher flew over Indiana.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's sad. Thanks for listening today to Show Me the Movies and our discussion on The Game. Email us at themoviesshowme@gmail.com with any questions or comments. And remember to follow us on Blue Sky and Instagram. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.
And always remember, I'm being toyed with by a bunch of depraved children.